Well, friends, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalms 116. That's Psalms 116. This morning, we'll spend our time looking at verses 1 to 4. But it is always good and fitting that we read all the verses that are contained in that particular chapter so that we have a bit of an idea of the theme of the psalm and where it's going. So that's Psalm 116. The psalmist declares the following: I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my plea for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosened my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in the midst of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but God's word stands forever. Amen. The beauty of Psalms is that they are a collection of literature which demonstrate the sovereignty of God in his affairs of man. The Psalms mainly encapsulates the honest heart of man towards his God. But the psalm we are dealing with this morning is part of what we'll call the Egyptian's Hallel, which are made up of Psalms 113 all the way to Psalm 118. Now, the word Hallel means praise. The psalms of praises, these are the psalms that the people would have sung together in praising God. The word is related to the expression hallelujah. These psalms mainly celebrated the deliverance of Israel from their bondage. However, when we come to Psalm 116, the psalmist is giving a personal thanksgiving to God, praising God for delivering him from his life-threatening situation. We need to notice again that the Jews will use the psalm to observe the Passover in their celebration and remembrance of God's deliverance. It is a fitting consideration how this psalms points out the suffering that awaits Christ, who shall suffer on behalf of humanity, so that we might be delivered from the terrors of sin and death. And so there is a sense that the psalmist experienced the same horrors, terrors that Christ would experience. It was a near-death experience for the psalmist. And God delivered him from this. And this deliverance works out as a platform from which the psalmist has developed a character within himself, whereby he can comfortably express his love for God. Therefore, in his life-threatened experience, he outrightly expresses his comfortableness on God's power to save him. He offers this verbal praise and expresses his intention to demonstrate his gratitude concretely by paying his vows and presenting a thanksgiving heart before the presence of God. And so the question I have for us this morning, as the psalmist would draw near to God, he would commit himself to loving God, to praising God in the midst of his difficult situation. What do you do in your troubled circumstances? When difficult times, life tragedies, comforting death, sorrows and fear, and hopelessness. We've all experienced this. We've all encountered this and will at one point in our life go through this. How do you react to these things? Do you react as the world does and curse God and turn away from him? Do you fall into your default settings of your old sinful ways? Do you curse God and ask that popular question, but why? Why me, God? Of all people in the world, why me? Why should it be me that these things should happen to? Or do you get subdued by the tragedies that has fallen in your life so much that God is so distant to you? What do you do in a troubled situation? The psalmist here draws into a situation and records for us his personal reaction to his trouble as he reflects on the Lord through this time. The three things that comes out of this text, which will give us the answer in terms of how a godly individual ought to respond to their bad situation. There needs to be a recognition and dependence on God, with an understanding that God answers prayers. And this is the first answer or first response that we are to have. Loving God who answers prayers. The psalmist says the following in verse 1. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my plea for mercy. The psalmist began his song with the most simplest expression of grateful love. He had a great love for Yahweh because he answered his prayers in desperate season. It's simple, yet powerful. Notice the personal relationship the psalmist has with Yahweh. He says, I love the Lord. This expression or declaration of love serves as the overall theme of the psalm. Every believer ought to be able to declare without the slightest hesitation, I love the Lord. The Israelites were expected to love the Lord for the covenant blessing he has given them. When you turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, the Lord declared it to the people, right? You know this word. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Or even later on in that very same book, in chapter 11, he will say, you shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statute, his rules, and his commandments always. I just love that particular section, even in chapter 10 of Deuteronomy, where God will call the people to circumcise the foreskins of their heart, to put aside any stubbornness, that their hearts would not be divided from loving him and loving the world, so that they will be solely committed to walking in statutes, fearing him and loving him only. This is what was expected of the people of God. They were to love him sincerely. Because of what God has done for the psalmist and how he was with him, the psalmist declares that love. He knows that he can count and rely on God. He expresses his love that he has for God. But not only does the psalmist know that he loves God, but he knows why he does so. Because he has heard my voice and my plea for mercy. The love of the psalmist towards God stems out of from the Lord's response to the psalmist's voice. The intensity of God's response to the voice of the psalmist is presented in the second part of our verse, whereby it's recorded that God hears the plea for mercy. He has heard the plea for mercy. The language "my" there signifies the personal relation the psalmist enjoys in God. To the extent of using possessive pronouns, "my prayers." The gratitude of the psalmist flows out of the keen awareness of what God has done for him. He's hearing and answering his cries for help. It is said that when love can justify itself with a reason, it is deep, strong, and abiding. If that's not enough, the psalmist brings in another reason why he loves the Lord. "Because he inclined his ear to me." Verse 2 shows the manner in which God responds to the cries of the psalmist. The Bible speaks of God who inclines his ear to the psalmist. It is like an older person who would be speaking to a little child, who would lean into them, get down on their knees, as it were, and listen carefully to what they have to say. That is the same picture imagery that we are meant to have, that God listens to the prayers of his people, his little people. Such actions of God cause the psalmist to trust God more, further in the future. "Therefore I shall call on him as long as I live." This is the psalmist's declaration, the psalmist's promise, his vow that "I will call on the Lord for as long as I live." This is a powerful declaration on part of the psalmist. And this is the truth, isn't it? That every believer ought to be able, without the slightest hesitation, to utter these words: "I love you, Lord. I love you, my Lord." Do you love the Lord? Do you truly, deeply, and sincerely love the Lord? And have you expressed that to him? Have you declared to God why you love him? Have you given thought perhaps to some of the reasons why you love him? Perhaps this morning you sit here and you're thinking, "Well, nothing is coming to mind. I don't know part of the reasons why I should love the Lord." Don't look any further, but look before us with the psalmist. The reasons why he loved the Lord is the same reasons why we should love the Lord today. Because he hears our voice. He hears the prayers of our hearts. He hears our need for mercy, not getting what we deserve. He is the one that grants us grace, giving to us what we do not deserve. The one who inclines himself to us in hearing our need. How even in the New Testament, it has echoes in every single page, reasons why we should love the Lord. 1 John chapter 4 verse 19 will give us reason why we love. We love because he first loved us. Friends, the reasons why we should love God are endless. For the very fact that he has saved you, that he has redeemed you, is an enough reason why you should go before him and say, "I love you, Lord, the Lord of my heart." Spurgeon will note, they say that love is blind, but when we love God, our affection has its eyes open and can sustain itself with the most rigid logic. We have reason, superabundant reason, for loving the Lord. When we begin to note the reasons why we should love God, our heart and our desire for him increases. Do you love the Lord? do you express his love for him, to him? The second answer, how a godly person ought to respond to their bad situation, is that they trust in a God who delivers from death. Look at verse 3. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. The psalmist recalls the crisis that caused him to turn to God for help. This is quite similar to the psalmist in Psalm 18, where the psalmist describes a threat to his life by picturing cords used by death as a weapon to pull him into the grave. The details of what threatened the psalmist are not known, but that does not take away the urgent need for God to come through for him and to rescue him. The psalmist was in the painful grip of death. He knew nothing but trouble and sorrow. This death crisis probably may have come from sickness, a deadly virus, an injury that was close to death, perhaps could have been an accident, a persecution that ultimately would lead to his death. It was a near-death experience, and the psalmist needed deliverance. With this experience, came the terrors and the fearing of death. The pangs or the terrors of Sheol came upon him. And the result is clear. The psalmist is thrown down into a huge distress and sorrow. It is apparent that what's going on in the mind of the psalmist and the experience he's going through at this moment is causing him pain, and pain beyond he could take it. A pain beyond he could endure. Notice that he says, I suffered distress and anguish. The word he's using here is suffering. Other Bible translation will use the word found. I found distress and suffering. And the idea is that of something that already existed and awaiting to befall on the person. It was something that was already there, waiting to come upon him. The stress, a trouble was found around him. Anguish and sorrow was within him. His griefs were doubled. And as he searched into them, they increased. It is said that a man rejoices when he finds hidden treasure. But what must be the anguish of a man who finds where he least expected it? A vein of trouble and sorrow. The psalmist was brought forth by trouble and found him out. When he himself became a seeker, he found no relief, but double distress. And it is this experience that pushes the psalmist to come closer to God. He had the opportunity to distance himself from God. With all that was going on in his life, he had the opportunity to blame God for what was happening. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't blame God, or he doesn't blame other people. But instead, he understands the inevitability and the proneness humanity have that bad things will happen. That bad things will come to us all. And so the question is not if trouble time comes, what would be our reaction? But the question is this. When trouble comes, approaches, how will you respond to it? Tough times never last. But those whose confidence and trust in his God last forever. John Wesley once visited a believer who was ill in bed, and having buried 7 of her family in 6 months, had just heard that the 8th, her beloved husband, was cast away at sea. I asked John Wesley, "Do you fret at any of these things?" She said with a lovely smile upon her pale cheeks, "Oh no, how can I fret at anything? which is the will of God. Let him take all besides. He has given me himself. I love him. I praise him with every moment. Here's an individual who's at, as it were, is at the end, face to face with death, having lost everything, all her beloved to death. And here she lies in the deathbed, and she says, I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, because I know you are the one that is able to deliver us from death. Friends, death, pain, and sorrow comes to us all. No one is exempt from this. In fact, we have all experienced death, and some have come to have life. You see, the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23 tells us that. God has pronounced that the penalty of sin is spiritual death and separation from God in a place of judgment. Jesus clearly taught that sinners were condemned in sin and would perish and go to hell if they didn't believe in him as a savior. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2, even as we read this morning, declared that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Friends, death has come to us all. We have all died. Sin has brought death to us. Every individual is spiritually dead in their trespasses and sin. But God, being rich in his mercy and grace, has provided a way of escape. Salvation. Deliverance from the sting of death. You see, friends, the Savior, this Jesus that I mentioned this morning, he's the one that died a death that you deserved. The apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, he would declare that God broke the pangs of death that surrounded Jesus. You see, the psalmist had a near-death experience. He was close to death. But Jesus, he experienced this death. He died so that you would live. So that you who are far off can be brought near to him. Oh, friends, how there is life in Christ. How he calls you to himself to come experience the saving power. Death has brought sorrow and pain. But Jesus offers healing and restoration. But only if you come to him. But only if you confess that he is Lord. He will save you. He will redeem you. And he will bring you to himself. Let's now conclude with the third and final answer. How we who are godly ought to respond in bad situation. That is, we serve a God who can be called at all times. Verse 4 would tell us, then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. The beauty and the display of this God is that he is relational and he hears our prayers. Not only does he hear our prayer, but he is able in his grace to deliver us, his people, from our difficult circumstances. Even those circumstances that may seem humanly impossible, God is one that delivers us. Therefore, he can. Therefore, the psalmist, having experienced this deliverance, having this trust and confidence in God, he knows that God can be trusted. He can depend on him. And thus, he calls on him. And friends, this is the confidence that we ourselves are meant to have before him. That if we ask anything in his name, according to his will, he hears us. The psalmist here called upon the name of the Lord. Prayer is never out of season. Some people sadly fall into a trap where they only pray when tough time comes. That's when they know that God is there. That's when they think they need God and they can approach him in prayer when tough times are there. But the psalmist doesn't do that. The psalmist teaches us differently. But that prayer is never out of season. We are meant to be people of prayer. We are meant to be found on our knees seeking the face of God. God said it, didn't he? That my house will be called the house of prayer. We are meant to be people who are praying, who are devoted to prayer. How is your prayer life? How is your prayer life? Do you set time aside to meet with God, to seek his face? I'm not talking about when difficult times come in your life, but is your life characterized by prayer? Do you meet with the believers when it's time to pray? Are you counted? Are you numbered amongst those who are in attendance in the prayer meetings? Do you see? Do you understand the importance of prayer? Friends, God can be called upon. That is, we can pray to him. He hears our prayers. He answers prayers. But we need to pray. We need to seek his face. Do you pray? Do you commit yourself to him? This was the prayer of the psalmist. I called upon the name of the Lord. And this was his prayer. Oh Lord, I beseech you. Lord, I come before you. I search you. Save my life. Spurgeon would describe this prayer like this. He says, this form of petition is short, comprehensive to the point, humble and earnest. It would be well if all our prayers were molded upon this model. Perhaps there would be if we were in similar circumstances to those of the psalmist. For real trouble produces real prayers. How powerful is this prayer for us? We who have put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. How our hearts rejoices that he hears us. He draws near to us. He inclines his ear to us. And he grants us his mercy. He gives us his grace. Oh Lord, how we love you. This is my prayer for you this morning. That you would love the Lord. That you would come to a place, a regular habit of declaring your love to him. And to listing the reasons why you love him. Not because of what God may do for you in the future. But considering, looking back in the past, what God has already done for you. The deliverance that he has given to you. That because of him, today you stand before him, justified, forgiven. Friends, this is a cause for great rejoicing within us. And so we say, Lord, we love you. And we praise you. Let's pray. What shall we render to the Lord for all his benefits to us? What shall we give to the Lord for all his blessings to us. What shall we give to him who has given us everything? What shall we give to him who has given to us such a great deliverance, such a redemption? Oh, to him, to you, O Lord, belongs all praise, all glory and honor forevermore. And so, Father, we declare this morning that we love you. Along with the psalmist, we remember what you have done for us. And Lord, this is the expression of our hearts. This is the prayers of our hearts, that we would love you more and more. And so, Lord, we pray that won't you circumcise the foreskin of our hearts, that, Lord, you would remove any stubbornness that may be contained within us, that our hearts would not be divided, but our hearts would be fixed upon you and you alone, that in all that we do, we would praise you. We will give you the praise and the glory forevermore. For indeed, we know that you are a God who is gracious, a God who is merciful. Father, we who are undeserving have received your grace. You have pardoned us, not giving to us what we deserve. So thank you. Thank you for your love for us. And we pray, Lord, that this love for us would spur in us, would awaken in us, would enlarge our hearts, that we'll love you more and more with every passing moment. And Lord, even as we considered earlier on that, yes, we are prone to wander, Lord, we fail at loving you sincerely and honestly with our hearts. So in those moments, won't you draw near to us? Won't you forgive us of our sins? And won't you restore us to yourself? And thus we pray and ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.